Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, g'day, Roo. How are you on this Monday morning?
Very good, Dits. Very good. I tell you what, it's good when our sides are playing good footy, isn't it? Very good when Port Adelaide just demolished Freo yesterday. I reckon you'd be nearly premiership favourites.
Shut. Don't be quiet.
No, I'm not joking.
Don't be like that. You've started the mind games already. You've come in this morning and said to me, oh, Port Adelaide, oh, you're so good. You think I'm not awake up to that? Hey?
You are, though.
No. Yeah. Anyway, look, we're going to talk about footy later on. But our two teams are first and second on the ladder.
How Port exciting. Top.
How exciting. Heading
Port
in.
Port top.
Unbelievable.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Amazing stuff heading into this week's showdown. Don't
you're
wind me up.
Yourself.
Don't
you're dreaming.
Wind me up. Let's
you think
move
you're
on.
In a dream.
Yeah. Listen, how was your weekend apart from the footy?
Nah, that's all I did all weekend was footy, footy, footy. Yeah. It was.
I've got McGain flu this morning.
McGain flu?
I've got McGain flu. On Friday, I went out with the people from McGain Real Estate. My God.
They are slightly unconventional. A little bit different.
Yeah. No, we went to the wineries up in the Adelaide Hills.
Oh, yeah, because you haven't been there before.
No, it was a first for me.
How many times do you have to go to the same winery before you realise it's good?
Yeah, I'm not convinced yet.
Okay.
I've got to keep going back.
Give it another shot.
But I just wanted to say good morning to Michael and Zoe. They're good people, and we had a few laughs. So
they paid for your lunch, did they?
No, we did. We shouted.
Did you?
What,
Triple M?
Triple M shouted.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, we're trying to get them to spend more?
Yeah, we got them to sign on the dotted line. Yeah. You fill them up first.
Is that legal?
I don't know. Not sure.
Always a good tactic.
Today, Roo will tell us all about the footy. Speaking of footy, Kevin Sheedy's going to join us later on as
Sheeds.
Well. He's on his way to town for something special.
Speaking of wineries.
Yeah, speaking of wineries. Mick Molloy is going to join us a little bit later on.
Oh, he'd be cock-a-hoot too. Oh. Hey, we're all 2-0. Yeah, sorry.
All the top
Tigers.
Sides. Yeah. They're on fire.
Not for long.
Hey, the other thing too, this has been a topic that you've hammered on about, and I think rightly so, for a long, long time, about the Prime Minister and or the Premier's salaries. See, we see an article again today. 27 public servants here get paid more than the Premier. Mm. That's not right, surely.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will disagree with what I'm going to say there, but I'll say it anyway. I think he should be the highest paid bloke of the state.
Yep. No, I do too. I think surely we need someone in charge that is that good. You've always said you're running the biggest economy or the biggest business in the state
or
in Australia.
Should be the best person.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
If we're attracting the best people, that is.
Just like the US got Donald Trump. There you go.
No, that's slightly different.
Oh, gee. Can I just say a tweet has just come through from Staggy. Can you see that? Do you want to read that out?
Ask Dits what he thought of Port Adelaide Footy Club fans chanting Eddie.
Yeah, they were yesterday.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie.
He was in Eddie's pocket a couple of times. How dare he?
It was just a sense of humour, surely.
Yeah, it was good.
Maybe a bit of fun.
No, it was good banter, good vibe at the Oval.
Actually, they were very vocal.
The Port fans
yesterday.
Are back.
Yeah, they are.
They're walking a bit taller.
What are you saying? We kick with the wind. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit.
Oh, come on.
Every club does.
Yeah.
Every club does.
Oh, it's going to be a huge week. It's only just started. Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Throughout the week, we're going to give away a double each day to the showdown, so it's worth hanging on and having a listen if you want to win a double to the footy. And also, we've got that Audi Stadium Club pass as well.
Which is brilliant.
Tell
it is one of the best places to watch football in Australia.
Yeah.
Probably the best at Adelaide Oval. Mm. Absolutely magnificent out there.
Now, before we move on to other topics, I just want to talk a little bit of footy again if I can, because over the weekend, this is the stuff making news, but the Puopolo free kick has been talked about since the Crows' big win over Hawthorn on the weekend. Now, we're talking about what David McKay lays what seems to be the perfect tackle, swings him around in a total 360, takes him to ground, and is adjudged to be in the back.
Yeah, and a lot of people saying it's the worst free kick they've ever seen.
Correct.
Ever, and I agree with it. I couldn't believe it. Lee Matthews has come out and said, agree with the Puopolo free. If a tackling opponent ends up laying on your back, surely that isn't in the back free. Well, just a little bit of feedback from Lee. That was on Twitter. Mm. The first thing that comes up, I'm not just selecting it. The first one was from Joel Dry.
Yes.
You know, the bloke we spoke.
Channel 9.
Surely this is a fake account. next bloke says, you're cooked, mate. The next one after that says, give me a spell, you've lost it. I think you've officially gone senile. You've lost the plot, Lee, was the next one. Yep. He's been hacked, surely. Mm. Is this an April Fool's joke? Please don't turn into KB Lethal,
oh, no.
as in Kevin Bartlett. Yep. Yeah, so, and it just keeps going on and on.
You
and
thought
on.
It was wrong. Paul Roos thought it was wrong. Wayne Carey thought it was wrong. I mean, the list goes on and on of people that know football.
Yeah.
And yet Lee Matthews comes out and says, no, it's in the back.
Now, yeah. But he didn't actually get in his back. Well, he ended up rolling over on there after about, have tackled him for several seconds before.
Spun him around a 360, had him holding the ball cold.
Yep.
But, Roo, it highlights the fact, though, that imagine, I was thinking to myself, so I'm in a bar somewhere and I run into Lee Matthews and I'm just some footy nuff-nuff out of the crowd, which is what I am.
Yep.
And I say, that's the worst decision I've ever seen. And then Lee Matthews says, no, mate, no, that's in the back. Well,
you'd be second-guessing yourself, wouldn't you?
We would. And this is my point about umpiring right now. What is right, what is wrong? It's just impossible.
But we had this discussion yesterday on Fox. It was Jared Healy, Dwayne Russell and myself before the game. We're talking about the rush behind rule. And the rule is not clear. If I said to you, you had to be under physical pressure as the player, you tell me, you define that for me.
Oh, well, physical means I'm actually being tackled or something.
So you have to be tackled?
Well, that's what physical pressure means.
Can you be touched?
If I'm under mental pressure, that just, they're bearing down on me.
No, but the rule is physical.
Physical means I'm being tackled.
Tackled or touched.
Yeah.
And it's not clear. And then there's it's basically perceived pressure. So how far away do you have to be for that to happen? Is it a metre? Is it a metre and a half? Is it a foot? So it's not clear. That's why the umpire, I feel sorry for the umpires.
Yeah.
They got no hope of getting those rules correct at the moment.
We could talk about it forever. The AFL is doing a terrible job with this area of the game at the moment.
They need to tighten it up for sure.
Hey, let's move on to other topics. Our very own KG, who we love and adore, is in a bit of a spat with Leon Bignall, the sports minister.
Gee whiz.
Now, this goes back a week ago where
Green and mundane.
Yeah, it is. It's bigger than that. Leon Bignall suggested Erin Phillips should have her name up on the Adelaide Oval somewhere, on a grandstand, on a scoreboard or something. KG hit back and said, come on, common sense needs to prevail here. Anyway, on the weekend, KG let rip a little bit.
Leon Bignall, sports minister, suggesting the Crows' best and fairest, or the captains, Chelsea and Aaron, should have their names on a stand.
Well, it is the most ridiculous thing, and I say this with all due respects to the two girls concerned. They were magnificent. They deserve every accolade that comes their way. But for our sports minister to make an absolute goose of himself by suggesting, and the girls themselves don't want a bar of it, suggest that they should have a grandstand named after them, and then to go on and in some way incorporate what he was talking about the fact that how many goals has Max Bashir kicked, suggesting, why is he got his name on a grandstand?
It'd be a good time to blow a siren.
Hang on.
I've got a radio career to protect you.
It's the most disrespectful thing I've heard in a long, long time. And Leon Bignall should have the balls to make a call to Max Bashir and say, Max, I'm sorry, I was taken out of context or whatever. The most disrespectful thing I've heard. That man is the greatest administrator the SNFL have ever had and ever like you to have.
KG fired up. Now, Leon Bignall apparently hit back on social media and said, Ken, I was the bloke who championed your cause to get your name in the media centre at the Adelaide Oval, which hasn't happened.
Topic.
No, but so they're to-ing and fro-ing a bit.
Yeah, but nothing to do with this topic, whether he pumped him up for that or not. It's a total different subject.
KG's just going with something he feels and believes.
Well, that's what he does, KG.
So that'll continue on, no doubt about that. Now, moving on as well, the other thing, the big news on the eastern part of Australia, Roo, what is happening
up there? Well, the floods from Cyclone Debbie are still going in several towns. We saw what damage happened to Lismore over the weekend, and on Friday, just totally underwater, absolute disaster. Now it's moving to towns like Rockhampton, and they're saying potentially, Dits, it could be as bad as the floods of 1956.
Yeah, here's Bianca Stone from Channel 7.
Looking at the Fitzroy River right now, and it's just covered a car park that we were in yesterday and standing in high and dry. So it is, the river's rising. It's rising quite slowly as far as floods go, but it's expected to be the worst flood in 60 years. So quite a significant flood event.
Not good.
Now,
I wouldn't mind knowing, where does all that water go as well, Ruth? This has happened before in North Queensland. Does this all flush out to sea? Well, she talked about the Fitzroy River.
I think that one goes out. Excuse me. I think that one goes out to sea. But if it goes a bit more inland, it actually ends up coming into the Murray, which is a fine line, and a lot of people in South Australia would be hoping that. But I'm not sure whether anything was in the Murray-Darling catchment. But gee, they have been pounded. What would it be like? Where do all the people go, Dits? Just there's 40,000 people relocated. Where do you sleep 40,000 people when your town's underwater?
Good question.
Where do you go? Do you have to go up onto high ground? It must be an amazing effort because when there's water everywhere and there's petrol or there's oil or there's food or there's all contamination in the water, snakes, all this sort of stuff getting around, there'd be mozzies, there'd be everything.
Yep.
There'd be no power. It'd be pretty horrible a few nights or a week, especially with young kids or the elderly. The hospital's probably underwater.
Mm.
It'd be a bloody disaster.
Yep, absolutely spot on. Spot on.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
What a weekend of footy. Let's look at the Crows first.
Eddie Betts winds up, gets very close to the man on the mark.
No.
Sawed him some foot candy, brought it back on the left.
Jim.
What about the multi-skilled Eddie?
Jim.
Just lifted Frawley off the ground with the right fader.
Oh, no.
The shaker. And then come back on the left and drilled the goal. Although Otten has marked it, he gives the handball off to Eddie. From the boundary line, right foot, banana.
Oh, no.
Eddie's kicked it.
Oh, no.
From the boundary for his third.
Like, you do so much pre-season, which I did this year, and then you come out and it's just such a different ball game. But just super proud to be back out here with the boys. Our contest stuff probably wasn't at the level in the first quarter. We're able to change that around, get it on our terms and move the ball like we do. I thought we really defended well across the board.
What I like about the Crows at the moment, Dits, is last 2 weeks up against two very good sides, and Hawthorn might be on the slide, we know that, but GWS, we know how good they are, is in the first quarter, things aren't going right, but at quarter time, they can regroup, whether the coach can identify what's going wrong and then relay that information to the players, and then the players have got the ability to execute what he wants. So it's a good skill to have, to be able to work out what's going wrong and then change it and then run over the top of them. And they've run over the top of two good sides the last 2 weeks. A few special mentions on the weekend. I thought a few blokes dug real deep. Sauce Jacobs was one of his best games for a long, long time. 43 hit-outs, 6 contested marks. Not one, usually one of his features of his game, his contested marking
grabs,
source.
Yeah.
Blokes like Andy Otten, who had to go into the second ruck after Jenkins was injured early, he did a really good job. Sloaney had 15 tackles for the game. He had 13 tackles at three-quarter time and only 12 disposals. Tex was good back. Charlie Cameron continues to do good work. It was McGovern's hands are getting better every week. I think the Crows are in a very good position at the moment, but I like the way they can regroup after a slow start.
Wines found it at ground level, snapping ball, half volley's hot for Johnson, missed it. Gray, left foot snap for the perfect start. Robbie Gray, something from nothing, Port get the first goal.
No mark, take it over the back, Robbie Gray, Robbie Gray clever. Oh, he can't pick it up, he taps it to himself. Now he gets up, handballs to Aaron Young, goal coming up, yes. Robbie Gray, who shimmies in and out a couple, he kicks number 6, no, yes. Number 6 on the run, Robbie Gray. What a goal.
30 touches, 6 goals. That was a total unbiased call again yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeping a lid on it.
I thought I was listening to 5AA there for a minute.
Yeah,
Port Adelaide are back. There's no doubt about it. They're back to their best form. If you look at whether they're in the ruck with Paddy Ryder, who's in career best form, their midfield looks as strong as ever, and their forward and back line are very balanced. Good group of talls and smalls in their forward line, and their defence look like they've got their mojo back now that the ball's coming in under pressure a little bit more. With Powell Pepper and Wines and Ebert back in good form in the middle, it's allowing Robbie Gray to spend time forward. And I asked the question yesterday, is he a better small forward than he is a midfielder? What do you think, Dits?
Oh, you can't say. I mean, he's good enough to do anything, really.
Is he more valuable as a small forward than
probably
a midfielder?
We kicked 6 yesterday.
And to be able to have him up there with Wingard, then Wingard all of a sudden might get the second best defender.
Yep.
That is a potent lineup. So, Port fans, you should be excited.
Charlie
should be
held
confident.
His marks.
Charlie held a couple of marks, did a good job. And the forwards are going to be better when the side's playing better.
Yep.
Forwards are, you're so reliant on what happens up the ground. But I'll tell you what, Dits, it does highlight one thing, that you're underachieving the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You knew that anyway, and that's why you were so critical of them. And I said the same thing. They had plenty of ability there. They just couldn't get it working for the last couple of years. It is only two games, Port fans, but you should be excited because you play like you did against Sydney, and I know Freo were terrible, and they got a very long year ahead. You won't just make up the eight. You'll be going for a lot higher than that.
Triple M.
Another day in paradise, Roo.
Absolutely.
Our two teams are top of the AFL ladder. What more would you want?
Oh, I couldn't have dreamed of this a couple of weeks ago, did. So I really didn't know if we were even going to make the eight. Now we're going to probably win the flag.
Settle. Now, what about this fella? What sort of jobs has he got right now? Of all the things he's done in the world of football and in life in general, I think he's landed the dream job.
Well, he is now the ambassador for Wolf Blass.
If you don't mind.
And I want to know what qualifications he's got for this role.
Kevin Sheedy, good morning.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Sheeds, what qualifications have you got to be an ambassador for Wolf Blass?
Just have a look at my red nose and that's enough.
That's right.
Oh, sampled a few of Wolf's finest over the years, have you?
I definitely have. I was only over there last year with a group of our coaching people when the Bombers were playing, and I went into the a fantastic winery in Adelaide, just out probably in the eastern suburbs. And it was just unbelievable what they've got there. Unbelievable.
Now,
and, of course, Wolf Blass, he's a legend himself, isn't he? Really?
Oh, absolutely.
He is. That's right. The man with the bow tie. Now, this is Wolf Blass, limited edition Hall of Fame yellow label. Tell us about this limited edition. What's it all about?
Well, look, it's more about recognising some of the great legends of AFL, and they've picked out four to start off with. This is only going to be a limited edition. Michael Voss, obviously, is a triple premiership player and captain up there in northern Queensland. They went to Teddy Whitten, who was a Mr. Football over here in Victoria. Bob Skilt won three Brownlows, and, of course, Robert Harvey won two and played 383 games.
Now,
three Brownlows, eight All-Australians, all that sort of stuff. But I think it's a great concept that I really enjoy because we love our footy, and eventually I hope they'll go and they'll probably pick one day they'll pick Rick and they'll pick Andrew McLeod and maybe
Gavin.
A Robram or
what about Gavin.
Gavin,
yes.
He's still painting. He's just doing a bit of artwork.
That's right. I mean, he is.
Could you imagine Gavin in about 5 years' time with a cigar in one hand and a Wolf Blass in the other, drinking his own Chardonnay.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful stuff. Hey, this would be priceless, this stuff. Now, Kevin, I don't know if your wife's like my wife, but my wife sounds very similar to Ditz's wife. Ditz, tell the story of what lovely Kate's been up to.
You won't believe this, but about a month ago, I went to a golf lunch here, and Michael Voss was the guest speaker. And anyway, I bought this limited edition at the auction, and I've come home on the weekend, and my wife has only cracked open. I think she's opened the Michael Voss. These are all signed, by the way. They're beautiful photos on the label.
Collector's
and what she does, though, she has one glass out of them, and then the bottle, I've got to throw it away. I've come home, and there it is. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, well, I just saw a bottle of red.
Tell her to ring me, and I'll come over, and I'll finish the bottle.
Don't throw it out.
That's silly, sauce.
I know. Yeah. I was going
to
keep this forever.
I need to meet your wife and talk to her. This is serious. Didn't throw the bottle out.
Well, no, I haven't.
After Ditz finished it.
Yeah, but the wine's no good.
Hey, she's asked you a couple of footy questions. You've been a pioneer of the game with coming up with concepts like Dreamtime at the G and Anzac Day between Essendon and Collingwood. Have you got any concepts rolling around in that mind after a couple of glasses of Wolf Blass?
I'm going straight to the country. We've got a big country game coming up this year on May the 13th, and we are going to play Geelong at the MCG, which we've hardly ever played, really, for 20 years. We had a little toe in the water last year while we had our second team in the AFL. But this is going to be a big game. This will be about an 80,000, and we're going to have just about every part of farming. We've got cattle, we've got milk or beef, and then you've got viticulture, you've got fishing, you've got, you know, everything's going to come here to the MCG. We've got a field day outside the MCG on May the 13th.
Wow.
That's going to be a monster game.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, the farmers keep the country going. That is a good concept.
Well, this country has been the backbone of this country, has been country people for 200 years. Mining took over, obviously, for a short while there. But, mate, every time you open up a fridge and a cupboard, comes from the country.
Yeah. Yep. Can I ask a question just from a footy, you know, a bloke that loves the footy every weekend and stands on the hill? Can we please stop meddling with the rules? Can we just leave the game alone, do you think?
It's very difficult because coaches annoy me.
You were one.
Only for 27 years.
Well, I mean, you ever look, if you actually, okay, well, we put a couple of extra guys on the bench too. That multiplied by 22 games a year by 16 or 18 clubs, that's going to give you 750 more games for kids to get a game. So that's not a bad rule change, was it really?
No,
it gave more opportunities for kids. But I'm not big on the second man up. I would have left that alone.
What about the difficulty in understanding holding the ball and rush behinds and deliberate and all these things? Are you comfortable with all these tweaks?
I mean, you're talking to a back pocket player, mate. I used to try and take the ball very close to the point line. It saved my life a million times. I have no idea why.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing.
Where do you get a penalty for giving the other mob a score?
Yeah, nah, exactly. Well, if you get the chance to talk to the rules committee, whoever they are, please tell them it's a great game. It's still the best game in the world. Why don't we just leave it alone for a while?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, look, it's hard to talk to them because they live on another planet.
Mm.
Yeah. Is Lee Matthews on that
somewhere.
Planet?
Have you ever met him? Have you ever met them?
Well, isn't KB your old teammate? Isn't KB a part of it?
No. They've immortalised him now. He's a statue. It's just right where I'm standing right now, outside the MCG, and there's a couple of birds just landed on it.
So even on your days off, you just go and stand at the MCG, do you? Love this so much.
He's going to get crapped on for not handballing most of his life. That's the best deal. That's a Wolf Blass legend comment, all right?
Sheeds, we've got to leave it there. But once again, this is a great concept. I've already bought them. I really have. If the wife will leave them alone. Nah. But it's the Wolf Blass Hall of Fame Yellow Label Limited Edition. And at the moment, on them, you've got EJ Witten, Bob Skilton, Robert Harvey and Michael Voss. It is a wonderful concept. And, yeah, let's hope there are more legends to come on the Wolf Blass series. Kevin Sheedy, thanks for talking to us.
No worries, guys. And please. Do not throw the bottles out.
No, I know.
That's the part of the deal.
There you go, Kate. If you're listening, you've got it from Kevin Sheedy, all right?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 24 degrees sunny. It'll be a stunning day and a stunning week from what we're told.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful weather late in the week.
Now, Roo, we're still talking footy. I know we've banged on about the footy, but it is a big, big week coming up. But what about this fella's story yesterday? This is Brett Eddy.
Wingard juggled it, didn't take it. Eddy picks it up, swoops on goal. He got the best bounce you've ever seen. He got a Shane Warne Wrongen. It was heading from behind. Eddy kicks his first goal in AFL footy.
So, big afternoon for Brett Eddy because he wasn't in the side. He was an emergency.
Emergency.
Now, you know his story. Off the rookie list a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant in the JLT series. Gets elevated. Played against Sydney last week, dropped this week, and an emergency. And then what happened?
Well, Hamish Hartley got pulled out before the game in the warm-up. He wasn't right to go. So Ken called up Brett and said, you better get down here. We need you. You're playing.
Hang on, but he would have been at the Oval, surely. He would, you know, an emergency. He would have been sitting in the stands in his club attire.
Well, there was some footage of him on social media having a round of golf.
Sorry?
Yes, that's a male getting around that.
Hang on, it's game day and he's an emergency. He'd be at the ground
ready
to go.
He obviously thought he wasn't playing. He obviously thought he wasn't required because he was on the 18th green and he just said, hang on.
That's got to be a mistake.
Well, hang on, Ken. I'm just going to sink this putt on the 18th.
Yeah, hang on, Ken. Here. Yeah, if you could just hang on. One of my mates will hold the phone.
Yeah.
I've just got to putt out here.
I'll get back to you shortly, but I've just got to sink this putt on the 18th.
Where was he playing?
Oh, I don't know. Doesn't matter. He's on the golf course playing golf and got the call from Ken saying, nah, Brett, we need you, son. You're back in.
And Ken would have said, I know you'll be up in the stand somewhere. Just come down to the change
rooms. Yeah, just come on down.
I'll see you down here in a minute.
So he was in and then he was out and he was back in and ended up playing, kicking a couple of goals. But
what are the rules? You would never have been in an emergency. You probably don't even know what the rules are.
I know what the rules are.
But I would have thought
what you do, Dits,
he'd have to be at the ground, ready to go, as if you're playing.
Yeah, you prepare all week. So Thursday night when the selection comes out and you're in an emergency, your instructions are to prepare as if you are going to play on Sunday at 4:10 until the team sheets go in.
Right.
And you are not playing. At that point, if you want to have a pasty and a can of Coke, you can do that. But he wouldn't have played for Port Magpies on the weekend.
No, he didn't.
Because it was an emergency, they would have kept him fresh. And you are to eat, sleep, drink, and prepare, hydrate as if you're going to play.
Right.
Not sure where golf fits into that. I think there might be a tighten up of their instructions this week. But anyway, it all ended well. And they'll have a little clean up of that. Hopefully, Brett doesn't get into any trouble.
Did he have his? He didn't have his golf spikes on yesterday, did he?
He had
time to change.
No, he took his golf shoes off and put his boots.
Look,
on.
I know how he feels actually, because do you know? I think it was the last year down at Footy Park. I think the Crows played Brisbane one afternoon, and
was it at Footy Park?
It was at Footy Park.
Was it?
Yeah, and I was on the 13th at Glenelg, and. A bloke came out frantically in a golf cart. I've never seen a golf cart with a V8 on it. He came out that fast.
You just thought he's coming out to check for your
green fees. I thought he was bringing me a beer. very good of him bringing drinks around.
You thought you'd been busted not paying green fees.
He said, Dits. I said, yep. He said, look, you've got to ring home urgently. I went, oh, hello. What's going on? Yeah, and you don't like hearing messages
no,
like
you
that.
Don't. You think so the worst.
Rang the lucky Kate, and she said, gee, they're ripping into you on Triple M. You're meant to be calling the footy. The game has started, and you're not there. I said, nah, that's not right. Anyway, so... I've got into this cart with the bloke, and I've got into my car, gone to Footy Park in my golf gear,
yep,
and ran into the box at about the 20-minute mark of the first quarter. And yes, I was rostered on to call the footy, and I didn't realise
that was one of the right at the start of our relationship. Dits.
Yeah. So you thought I was quite reliable?
I thought,
at that stage.
Oh, geez, he's very professional. This Chris Dittmer, runs a very tight ship.
No one
time
told
management's
me.
Very good.
No
yep.
one told me I was calling
nice
the footy.
Nice clean diary, but well organised.
I
and,
didn't realise.
Done his homework. Yeah. Really keen to
I
watch the
in
Crows.
And said, who's playing?
So, no damage done there either, Dits.
No.
Makes you wonder where people have where they're supposed to have been when they're out playing golf.
Yeah.
There would be a few people on the golf course over the years that probably actually should have been somewhere else.
Yeah. Where have you been when you were meant to be? Perhaps so. I mean, Matt O'Reilly just told us this morning. His dad went and played golf when his mum was in labour. Just thought, nah.
She's good on your dad.
Doctor said, nah, she'll be a while.
She'll be a couple of hours.
He thought he'd go and play golf.
Slip nine in.
Yeah, exactly. So 133353. Now, would you believe we've got a double to the showdown this week? 133353. These will be the hottest tickets all week.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, this is Roo on Fox Footy yesterday.
Eddie can't mark. Late inclusion with Hartlett, the late out.
Just got a bit of mail on Brett Eddy. He was out playing golf when he got the call up. He was actually on the 18th, if you can believe that.
So they didn't know Hartlett was out quite a while ago?
No, they didn't know.
He was on the 18th.
He was on the 18th, so at least he got his money's worth.
But Hartlett was on the team sheet half an hour before the game, strangely enough.
Well, Hartlett actually did the warm-up. That's why I was surprised. I saw him out there. Next minute, he wasn't playing.
Yeah, it wasn't right. So he was on the 18th when he should have been at the Oval. Let's go to Peter from Parralawi. What were you doing, Pete? Were you supposed to be on the golf course?
Well, it wasn't actually golf, Roo. My man loves his fishing, and they'll catch a 30-pound snapper.
Oh, big snapper.
So,
good snapper.
Yeah, so I got up at... This is out from out of harbour. So I got up at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to miss out. I went and got into the boat, and I stayed there. Until they got to the ramp, I was supposed to be going to school.
You're hitting the boat, did you?
How old were you, Peter?
I was 13.
Good work.
So...
No, that's all right. I'd let you off if I was your dad for that. I like your enthusiasm. Let's go to Greenwith. G'day, Jason.
Morning, boys. How you going?
What's your story?
I work night shifts, and to get out of jobs around the house, quite often I'll... say I'll have to sleep, obviously, and get the kids looked after, but really I'll go out and have a round of golf.
And get someone to look after the kids.
Yeah, very good.
That's clever. Let's go to Hillbank. G'day, Scotty.
Morning, guys. I was playing golf, and I missed my uncle's funeral.
Obviously a close relationship.
Well, no, I got the time wrong. I thought it was like 3 o'clock. That it was going to happen, and I thought, oh, good, I can get a round of golf in, you know. And then about 1 o'clock, my phone rings, and it's my brother. And he goes, where are you? I said, really, where am I? He goes, you're supposed to be at the funeral. I said, I'm down the back. There's too many people. I'm up the back. You just can't see me.
Right. Good try, Scotty.
Yeah, nice.
I think you got caught
thinking,
there. Let's go to Valley View. G'day, Danny.
G'day, boys.
Where have you been caught out?
I was playing around. And then heading home, went past Muckers, HJ's, and on the way back, Mrs. brings me up and goes, yeah, in labour, we're going to go.
Nearly missed the birth of your son. Let's go to Finland. G'day, Michael.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Michael.
Boys, I was in a wedding. I was a best man at a wedding, and we were all at the Grange Golf Club. And as you do, we took clubs and that out to take some photos and whatnot. Anyway, during the wedding, being the best man, you got to do the speech. Anyway, I was at the back, and the guy, the MC, had changed when the speech was going to be done. So I was at the back with the boys. We're having a bit of a hit on the green, just having a tap. And they're calling out, oh, the best man's going to do his wedding. They're calling out and calling on there. And then someone's run out the side, going, quick, hurry up, you're going to be doing the bloody speech. So,
well done. All right,
you haven't been popular with the bride.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:57, Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M on this Monday morning. Time for our Monday talk back on 133353. You can have your say on anything. Let's go to our first caller. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Who's that?
It's Wally from Woodville.
Hello, Wally. How are you? I haven't heard from you for a while.
No. I was listening to the pressure test.
Yeah.
How much did that young gentleman win?
$50 this morning.
I'm sure I heard my microwave go off and I went and checked it.
Yeah, you did a couple of times.
There was no porridge in there. I just think I'm going mad.
Sorry, Wally. Sorry, that was my mistake.
Sorry. He didn't win much. Anyway, when the Port Adelaide, that's South Australia at the top of that time that Woodville got into the A's.
No, it's not going to happen, Wally. You can stop ringing up about Woodville.
They will
not get in.
And we had oranges last time. Now I heard some commentators say that they didn't have oranges. They go and regroup in the long break. Yeah. Oh, the game's changed.
Right. Thanks, Wally. Anyway, ring us again sometime, Wally, but I don't like your chances, Wally, about Woodville.
Let's take our next caller. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, who's there?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Hello, Helen. Helen. Good morning to you.
Where were you, Christopher?
When?
I suppose you're blaming daylight saving, are you?
What are you talking about?
There was no show again, but just a reminder.
Yes.
For people like myself running small businesses that have appointments on the half hour and hour,
yes,
it's important to change your clocks.
Right, okay. I'm sorry about that. Yes.
If you're in an establishment like mine in Hindley Street, whether it's an out call or I'm working from base, change the battery in your smoke detector.
Right, okay. You're meant to do that when daylight saving changes, that's right.
I know you've changed my batteries a few times.
Right. Hey. See you later, Helen. Thank you. Let's go to
I need to know more about Helen.
Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Hey, boys.
Who's that?
Hey.
It's Tex.
Hey, Texan. How are you, Tex? Yeah.
A bit disappointed, actually.
What are you worried about?
Well, you know, I said before the season we're on top.
Yeah, you were.
After the first round, we're on top.
Yeah.
Well, now we're second.
Hey, you've seen the premiership ladder, Tex.
Well, you know, Helen's right, that daylight saving thing. You know, I remember you got to be careful. Bernie, I came home one day, and Bernie was putting all this black stuff on his private parts. I said, what are you doing? He said, mate, I have to. It's daylight saving. I said, mate, they're telling us to turn our clocks back.
Right. He misheard, obviously. Righto, thanks, Tex. We've got time for one last call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Ru. Hello, Dick.
Hello, Tommy. Tommy Tai Chi, our favourite restaurant.
Tommy, I want to come in this week.
Oh, you come in. Where you been, Roo? You used to come in every Friday before game. I feed you up. You know, you play well. What happened to you?
I want to come in Thursday. I need a pre-showdown lunch.
I'm sure I'm going to be big, but, you know, not as good as August. You guys book. You come on Tommy's tour to Scotland.
You're going to Scotland, Tommy?
Yeah, you come with me, you know, because you know what? On Scotland, every second year, we got the badminton championship in Glasgow.
Badminton. I like that.
Anyway, that's what I do. Anyway, I do want to say, guess who we had in restaurant during the week? You know, that's, I think, about Friday night and last Saturday night. And I forgot.
Who'd you have in?
We had Hamish Hartley in. I beat him on the Anyway, you come down the new JD Mirror Golden Moon Dragon.
Hang on, Tommy.
He was laid out.
Hamish Hartlett pulled out during the warm-up yesterday.
What you'll say?
He was sick. When was he down your restaurant?
Friday or Saturday night.
What did he have?
Well, he had wonton short soup, combination soup, and then I gave him some special Tommy Yabbies from Up Murray.
I think you've had those Yabbies quite a few weeks, I think. It's time to throw them out.
Yeah, but okay, I see how that goes. I thought they get better with age, but you know, I hope it got all right.
No.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo.
On the front page of the paper today, we're talking about public servants earning more than Jay Weather, or not just one or two, but 27 public servants who are on more money than Jay Weatherall. Jay's on $374,648.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 27 more people than that as public servants earning more than him. Now, that is a massive number.
Yep.
He's supposed to be the premier of, or he is the premier of the state, but the most important position in the state, most people would say. He's the man responsible for running the state and making the calls, and he's got the responsibility of making all the big decisions, yet he's not on the most money.
You've said to me before that the Prime Minister should be on millions of dollars, and you stick by that, don't you?
Absolutely. I think whether the Prime Minister should be on a massive salary. I think we need to attract the best and brightest people in the country to run the biggest economy in the country. And I think the Premier of the state should be on big money as well. Lots of people are motivated by money. Not everyone. Lots of people are motivated by either money or job happiness or whatever. But money influences a lot of people. We all need it. And if you're not offering the most money, you're not going to attract the brightest people.
So in other words, if someone had run a major bank around the world, like the World Bank or something like that, and therefore knows how to run an economy and knows economics inside out, that's the sort of person that you're talking about.
Every now and then you throw up Clive Palmer or Donald Trump to me. Yeah. But what you're sort of slightly misunderstanding when I say that, it's not the richest person, it's the most capable or the best businessman.
Best qualified.
Yeah, because you can make a lot of money and not be that bright, or you can be good at a certain type of area.
Right.
But you know, if you look at what the blokes heading up the banks or BHP or Wesfarmers or all the big listed companies in Australia, they're all on, you know, $10 million. Mm. Even an Australia Post bloke who copped all the flack a month or so ago, he's on over $5 million.
Yeah. And what you've said before is that why would those people leave their jobs if they're that good? Why would they leave it to earn $370,000?
You're not going to attract the best people in Australia if your salary is a tenth. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull doesn't even need his salary. So he's in a rare position. If there's 100 people in Australia that are good enough to run the country, and you're only five of them are going to put their hand up, you're reducing the size of the field, aren't you?
You are.
That's my theory.
No,
anyway.
I like what you're saying.
That's my theory.
Do you agree with Roo or not? It makes sense, really, when you think about it.
I'm not saying Jay should be on $5 million or Stephen Marshall or whatever, but I'm saying if you had a different structure where the Premier was on $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, I reckon you'd attract a heap more people that wanted to be politicians.
All right. Do you agree with Roo or not? 133353. I'd love to hear from you about this because it's an interesting topic. We tend to not trust our politicians. And when you delve into some of their backgrounds, you think, how on earth did you get into politics? I mean, we say it all the time.
Mm.
So how can we attract the better candidates, the better people? Hey, Roo, what we've got here for our best caller, this is the Audi Stadium Club at Adelaide Oval, exclusive access to footy, cricket and all big events. But this is where you want to watch the showdown from. So we're going to put you in the running for our best caller. We'll put you in the running.
For this weekend.
For this weekend.
The showdown.
Right? This is dinner in the Audi Club and to watch the showdown. 133353, do you agree with Roo's theory? I quite like it, that the Premier and the Prime Minister should be really, really highly paid.
104.7 Triple M.
And we're taking calls on the Premier. What should he be paid in this state? Should he be the top paid man?
Let's take a call from Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Roo. Good morning, Dits. How are we?
Yeah, good, Nick.
Well,
are you from Greenock, Nick?
Yeah, mate.
Good on you.
Beautiful part of the world. Yeah, love that place.
Righto, what do you think?
I honestly think no politician or any CEO should be on more than $300,000 a year because, I mean, you look at Australia Post, it's fallen in a heap because they're paying this guy $5 million.
Is that why it's fallen in a heap, is it?
Well, I mean, how can you sustain a company if you're paying some bloke $5 million and you're losing money? Explain that to me.
Yeah, that is a good question. I don't mind that question at all.
What's the
You've
question?
Got to be accountable. Well, you're getting paid millions of dollars, yet your company's performing very, very badly.
Yeah. If it's his fault, well, then that makes sense.
But it's worth finding out. No, you make a good point. Yeah, go on.
And you look at politicians. I mean, a Joe Blow, anybody in a normal job has to put in a tax return at the end of the year, gets their tax return. Politicians get everything handed to them. You know, I just think it's ridiculous. And I think, you know, if they're on $300,000, all that money you save, you can put back into your health system, your roads, your education.
All right. I see where Nick's coming from, Root, but I do tend to agree, though, that the top man is running the biggest economy.
Oh, yeah.
It's an important job. Look at the moment, our power situation. There's so much, I don't know, there are just critical decisions to be made. It needs to be a person that is clever enough to know what to do.
Well, if you make one wrong decision, it can cost you billions of dollars.
That's right.
G'day, Enzo.
Yeah, g'day, Ruth.
What do you think on this one?
Mate, I tend to agree with you. I think people should be on a good base salary and then have an incentive based attraction to it.
And you think, should the number one man be on the most money?
Definitely. It's the only way you're going to take a lot, much better calibre of candidate.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Enzo. Right, Enzo. Let's go to Highbury. G'day, Vivian.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, but I think you've taken some funny pills this morning, Roo.
Why is that? I only had cornflakes for breakfast.
Well, you must have put something on them.
A bit of sugar?
I mean, they're paid that amount of money and then they get a huge pension when they're either kicked out or they retire. Mm-hmm. I work in aged care. I don't even get $20 an hour.
Yeah.
On a night shift, I'm left with 30 people on my own. Most of them have got dementia. And, you know, I'm struggling from one fortnight to another to make ends meet. And all of these blokes are doing is pushing pens around tables.
Vivian, I understand exactly what you're saying. My mum does the exact same thing.
I'm on your side there, Vivian, and if you're not getting $20 an hour, that is disgraceful. You people work so hard, and I mean that sincerely. I can't believe that. But the other thing, too, is I don't agree with the other bit of it you mentioned, too, Vivian.
Oh,
I don't agree with
the stuff's garbage.
Yeah, the pensions and the payouts these politicians get for the rest of their lives is disgraceful.
Offices, all that stuff they get for nothing. You should get paid when you're in the role, and then as soon as you're out, you're out.
Yep, go and get another career. Vivian, we're on your side. Believe me, we really are.
Let's go to Brighton. G'day, Tim.
How you going?
Good, Tim.
What do you think?
Well, I've got a question. Do we really need three layers of government? We've got local, state and federal.
Yeah, that comes up from time to time, and that would save us a lot of money, wouldn't it, Tim?
Well, the question is, we pay us for the people to be smart, but are they really smart, the people leading us, or are they just the puppets and the services support them?
Well, we vote them in, but they're the only candidates we've got. That's why we vote them in, because that's who we have. When you go to the election, you got no choice, have you?
Well, in a big business, the bloke coming in too would come in and just clean out and get rid of any dead wood that you didn't need. But you probably can't do that in government at the moment. But let's go to Para Hills. G'day, Neville.
G'day, how you going, boys?
Good, Nev.
Bro, you said the other day that some footballers weren't very smart.
Well, they're not.
I reckon you made a pretty good statement. I think, one, if people are not performing, they shouldn't be in there full stop. And what's going on with the government at the moment with South Australia is a disgrace. I think that if you had it a bit more attractive, you would attract the best people for the job. And it's not only the best person is the one that's dressed the nicest and has got the flashiest house and all the rest of it.
No.
It's the down-to-earth people that I think are getting missed out on, that they're actually seeing the things that are actually happening in South Australia especially.
Yeah, you can't lose contact with people in the streets, can you, Ditz, if you're running the state? So thanks, Nev. Let's go to Warradale. G'day, Terry.
Hey, how you going?
Hello, Terry.
Hello. I believe if the top dog's doing their job right, well, yeah, you're entitled to that money, but the top dog hasn't been doing their job right for a very long time. Health system, education, it's a joke really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep, I think a lot of people
agree,
Terry.
Who was our last Prime Minister, you reckon, Ditz? Johnny Howard that was doing a good job?
Well, it depends what side of politics you're on, obviously, but one comment I'd make, Roo, is the country was never hasn't been in better shape in my lifetime, and yet we voted him out, and I think it was just because of boredom. Seriously, I think people just got bought. Like in his own electorate, he got thrashed by Maxine McHugh, the ABC journalist.
Johnny Howard.
Yeah.
We had $50 billion That's in right. the bank That's as right. a country when he got voted out for Kevin Rudd. Now we owe $400 billion.
Now, obviously, all of the people that vote Labor would ring up and say, he was terrible, we hated Johnny Howard. But if you look at the economy and the way the place was being run at the time, pretty hard to argue against it really.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 24 today, Roo. It's going to be sunny. And as we've said, what about the week ahead?
Yeah, unbelievable. It's going to be perfect all week. It's just getting better and better. Mid-20s up until close to 30 on the weekend for the showdown. Could be absolutely perfect conditions for Saturday night at Adelaide Oval.
Now, same can't be said for northeast Queensland and parts of New South Wales. As we know, they've been belted. There was Cyclone Debbie last week. But the aftermath continues. It's terrible news.
Yeah, it was still rivers flooding and yet to peak. And they're talking about level seen in the Fitzroy River at Rockhampton. Not seen since 1956.
All right, let's head up there right now. Channel 7 Sunrise reporters Bianca Stone. Bianca, good morning. How bad is it?
Well, good morning, guys. I do have some good news for you. The Bureau has just revised the update for the flood levels. It looks like it might reach 9 metres now, which is around the level that we saw in 2011, so it won't set any new records at this stage. And that's all going off a gauge, which is further upstream here. But already the Fitzroy River is well and truly rising. It's swallowed up in front of me a walking track and a car park. It's a very slow-moving flood, but it's certainly getting up there. The volumes of water that we're seeing come through here is just incredible. We're told at the peak of this flood, when it hits, the equivalent water for two Sydney harbours will flow through here. So it's just an incredible amount of water that comes down.
That is. Does that all flow out to sea, or does any of it flow into the Murray-Darling catchment? Do you know, Bianca, or is that a tough question?
That's a tough question for me.
But is it all going out to the ocean then?
Of this is all going out to the ocean, from what I understand. It all goes out to the ocean. It comes from an area that's about 140,000 square kilometres. So that's a big catchment area for all this water to come down. And that's an area the size of Greece. So if you can imagine that, and all flowing into the Fitzroy system, coming down, it is expected to affect about 5,500 homes and businesses here in Rockhampton. They're used to floods, but this one is, it's looking like a big one, so they are really getting prepared.
Gee, it's amazing, isn't it? The pictures of Lismore over the weekend, and obviously up even further north, it's just unbelievable how much water is and how many houses are under it. How do they relocate people and give them a safe, secure bed at night?
Somewhere to go, yeah.
Well, look, here in Rockhampton, as I said, people are pretty used to these floods. So those who know they're in a flood-prone area will go and stay with friends and family. Mostly there's evacuation centres open, but very few people will use those. The best bit about, I guess, the Rockhampton flood is it's blue skies at the moment. There's no rain to contend with. So people, have got time to prepare. They're moving all their stuff to higher ground and are getting ready for this and preparing for the worst, I suppose. But as you said, this Debbie is just hit us so bad here in Queensland and northern New South Wales. It's so widespread. I was up in North Queensland, preparing for Debbie to hit last week. Bowen, Early Beach, even Mackay cop damage. There's still plenty of people without power. This one really, gotten the whole of the state and then northern New South Wales as well.
How does the state recover from this? This must set it back for weeks or months financially. It must be really hard to get over.
Oh, look, the infrastructure that this has damaged. I live on the Gold Coast usually when I'm not travelling the state. And, the amount of roads and things like that have been damaged, big. And we're talking millions of dollars worth of damage to certain causeways and things like that, which have isolated towns. It's going to be a long, hard recovery. But, look, nothing that isn't being done without good humour here in Queensland. I went to a bar last night. Junos do drink at bars quite often. and there were some life jackets on the outside of this bar lined up, just in preparation for when it's nice. So, it's all being done with good humour. Yeah. Lots of heartache out there, but, people keep a smile on their face.
Is that what they say, drink responsibly when you put
take your life jacket? That's right. Good on you, Bianca. Thanks for joining us. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bianca Stone, Channel 7 Sunrise reporter. Roo, I can understand. I've had some bad luck in Rockhampton. I was up there a few years ago and terrible situation.
Wash tournament?
It was. And I was staying in one of those hotel rooms where it was a big one. There's about three or four beds in there, a double bed and a few singles. Yeah. So four or five lads all sharing the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at the squash club and having a few. And I did the right thing and said, I'm going home early. And so, and I went back to my room, and you know how in Rockhampton, very hot and humid all year, you know, it was hot. So I just peeled off and I just crashed on top of my bed, nude, you know, because it was that hot and I was just laying there.
What happened?
And then I woke up the next morning and honestly, there were pizza boxes, empty packets of chips, peanuts, there were empty beer bottles, there were hundreds of bottles of wine and beer cans everywhere. And I looked around and I said, what the hell happened here last night? They said, oh, we had 30 or 40 people back here. So I've laid nude in the middle of this hotel room.
You must have been under the weather.
I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, I had French onion dip in my navel. I had bloody everything. It was a bit embarrassing.
You get your own room next time.
I think I will. I learnt my lesson. But hey, this happens in Rockhampton.
Crazy things happen up there. Hey, I want to hear more about this rumour that you're going to drop
next. The footy rumour.
Is it about Adelaide?
Right, I'll just make a couple of phone calls during this break and I will verify it. I've just got to check with my legal.
Peter Farris sort of.
Check with my QC and I'll come back to you.
So it's not about Adelaide or Port Adelaide?
Might not be, no.
But it's about a Melbourne club?
A big club.
A big Melbourne club.
Well, it might be Melbourne. I don't want to get too specific yet, but I'll get to it in just a moment.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
8:25, Ruined Dits here on Triple M. What a weekend of footy, Roo. Let's start with your boys, the Crows.
Yeah, look, they were great again on the weekend, no doubt about it. They were a bit ordinary early. They were making some poor skill errors. They were fumbling. Looked like they were a little bit flat from the week before, to be honest, and Hawthorn kicked away. But like the week before, they regrouped at quarter time. Pike in the coaching group obviously worked out what was wrong, communicated with the players, and then the players got the ability to be able to take that feedback on board and then execute it out on the ground. That is a really powerful combination. They ran over the top of Hawthorn in the end. They were missed plenty of opportunities as well, but they're a good footy side at the moment, the Crows, and Sauce Jacobs, I think, played his best game for a long time, took a lot of good contested grabs because Jenkins went off injured, we know that, and luckily he hasn't got any broken ribs, but Sauce had to do 95% of the ruck, which is a huge thing to do. Otten did some great stuff in the ruck too. He needs to get a mention. But Sauce Jacobs, that duel with Paddy Ryder this week is going to be mouthwatering. And we know Sauce has won a showdown medal before, but him and Ryder, it is going to be unbelievable.
Will Jenkins play this week?
We don't know at the moment. I mean, he's been cleared of any lung damage or rib damage. It'd have to be badly bruised at absolute minimum, but we'll have to wait and see on him. Lever did play well in the SNFL, so he'd be a chance to come in. But Tex Walker was great. Sloaney was brilliant. Charlie Cameron, it was an all-played-well performance again. The knock-off Hawthorn, first time in 7 years, is a big tick. Port Adelaide, it's, we were both there yesterday. They were very, very good. Now, they played a side that were very disappointing. They were ordinary.
Terrible.
Anyone who thinks they're making a comeback to play finals football, you can write that off. They are going to be bottom three for sure. They are down the bottom of the ladder with Carlton and probably Gold Coast from what I've seen early. Gold Coast looked disappointing, but Freo are no good. They are the third oldest list in the comp. They had six blokes over the age of 30 yesterday. They are going backwards before they come forwards. But Port Adelaide are back to their best. Ryder is in career best form. He has never played this good at Essendon or whatever. He's got his Achilles back to
He's leaping in the air, isn't he?
And he's jumping. His mind is over the Essendon stuff, so he's got a fresh head. And that is ominous for opposition. Their midfield, as a result, is back in brilliant form. Ollie Wines is in career best form. Powell Pepper has just stepped in. Looks like he's been playing for 5 or 10 years. Ebert's in form. And the luxury is they can let Robbie Gray play in the forward lines. You've got Gray and Wingard, two of the most skillful players in the competition in the forward line. Mm-hmm. They are extremely dangerous. Their defence look balanced again now. Story out of yesterday, Hamish Hartlett, as we know, pulled out in the warm-up. Brett Eddy was on the 18th green. He did a round of golf. He got a phone call from Ken Hankley. Yeah. They will be looking at their protocol for being an emergency after yesterday, but it didn't matter. Brett Eddy come in, he kicked a couple of goals, did his
job. Now, I've heard, not only playing golf, he was at the Vines, which is at Ranella. That's what I've heard. Now, boys, if you're going to play golf, play at North Adelaide.
Play at North Adelaide.
Please. Yeah, exactly. Be across the road.
So, the good news for Port Adelaide fans is Hartlett should be fine this week, and Pittard should be back. They won't have one injured player.
Pittard can't come straight in, surely.
Well,
I know he's in their best side. I don't mean that.
Depends how much work he's done and how close he is, and we'll find out through the week. But they are fully fit and in form. And I tell you what, if they keep it up the way they're playing, they won't just make the eight, but they'll push higher up the eight.
Now, Ken and the Port Adelaide players. Ken and the Port Adelaide players, I know you're all listening. Don't take any of this on board. He's getting inside your head. He's trying to make you overconfident. No. This is Rue at his best.
I was on Port's bandwagon big time when they were playing good footy in 2013, 2014. I really did admire what they were doing, and I've been as disappointed as anyone over the last 2 years. It does show how much you underachieved the last 2 years because you had plenty of ability, just couldn't get the best out of them. But at the moment, they're playing really, really good footy.
Well, how's this week going to be? The build-up to this week, our teams are first and second, Roo.
Perfect
How
weather.
How big is this for Adelaide?
Perfect Huge weather. Build top up. Of the table, bragging rights, Port's home
and they're top
game.
For top two teams for a reason. They are both in great form. It's only two rounds,
form.
But both in great form.
And when you've played ordinary for 2 years, did it? There's no shame. The Port players will be just loving the fact that they're playing good footy. They'll be as hungry, as excited as ever, let alone the fans. You heard the noise. It was only 38,000 a year, so it wasn't a big crowd, but gee, they were loud.
Yep.
We were down on the oval before the game. They're ready to rumble. This week's going to be an absolute cracker.
Never tear us apart, right?
Never tear us apart. Never stop to your top. You've got a rumour. And you rang me on Friday just after we finished on air, and you said, "Roo, I know this has just happened."
So one club has already met about its coach, right? Round two, and a club has already met to discuss what's going to happen. And
what potentially could happen or what's going to happen? If things go bad, they're
worried
put plans
about their
in
draw.
Place.
All right, they're worried about their draw. It's one of the clubs that hasn't won a game yet. They're worried. They're very concerned about their draw moving forward.
So there's eight clubs there. So you've narrowed it down to eight.
And I can tell
you. But you did say it was a big Melbourne club.
I've got a shopping list. And the top of that list, or my call from what I've been told is, I think Stuart Dew.
Is this good mail?
Yeah.
Because you're going with it. No.
Stuart Dew is top of their list to coach. Stuart Dew, I think, will be an AFL coach mid-season this year.
You think they're going to sack him mid-year?
Mid-season.
Sack him?
Yep.
Well, they wouldn't run through to the end of the year.
No.
It's a big call.
They're very serious about it.
Did you get told they'd sack him, or are you just making that
assumption? No. The meeting was about...
If it goes pear-shaped?
Go through to the mid-season. They're very concerned about their draw. They think they're going to be like 1-7 or even worse. And they're concerned about that. And I can tell you that Stuart Dew is top of their shopping list.
Well, I'm not surprised about Stuart Dew. He won the assistant coach of the year. He's held in very high regard, and everyone's saying he's going to be a good head coach. But you're saying potentially that could happen in the middle of the year.
And I'm not trying to dodge the issue by not naming the club, but I find it unfair that if we mention it here now, and even though I'm saying it, your name will be put to it. What we don't want is, Roo.
Hey, my name's not.
No, but no one's going to take any notice of me. But I'm just saying I don't think it's fair that someone's name will now be, this bloke's under the pump and rah-rah. But I can tell you it has happened. There's been a meeting about it.
When did the meeting happen?
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that.
All right. But it's happened.
Yeah. There you go.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.